Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, this is pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, the business station. It is that time of night. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm going to be with you all the way through until 10 p.m. this evening. Now, this evening, I've got somebody in the studio that I've heard an awful lot about. Her name is Jennifer Thompson. She puts herself down as an event and artiste manager, an event manager with over 30 years' experience in the Malaysian entertainment industry. She's had the pleasure of working with artists local and international, major or unsigned, and she's been involved in the music business, coordinating and managing numerous live recordings, producing and event managing concerts. Now, one of the things that she was involved in was way back in 1986. You might know it as the Chow Kit Road concert, something I definitely want to pick her brains about this evening. Now, we have two giveaways this evening. Of course, it is Spotify Friday, meaning first of all, we have Spotify swag to give away. 016-201-9000, of course, is the number to remember. We'll need your full name, your IC, and why you deserve to win. I'll be asking you a little bit later on the question. And of course, we have another giveaway for the Crack House Comedy Carnival, this time happening on the 30th of April, which is a Sunday, featuring the All-Star Gala Show. The lineup is Dr. Jason Leong, of course, from Malaysia, Rizal Van Gezel from Malaysia, Rishi Budrani from Singapore, Pun Chi Ho, Malaysian, of course, GB Labrador, and Nick Coppin will be there all the way from the UK. I'll ask you questions about that a little bit later on, too. In the meantime, we're going to take a very short break. We'll be right back with Jennifer just after these messages. Don't go anywhere. BFM 89.9, the business station. BFM 89.9, the business station. It is that time of night. Of course, it is Spotify Friday, meaning I'm giving away Spotify swag. I'll ask you a question a little bit later on in the show. But in the meantime, I've got a guest in the studio, Jennifer Thompson. Now, Jennifer.
Hello.
I introduced you as an event and artist manager. Now, I've heard an awful lot about you, from many different people.
That's scary.
In a good way, because what I've heard is that when you want an event running well and done decently, you call Jennifer, and you don't mess with her.
My telephone number is zero.
I mean, you've been doing it a while now, right?
Oh, a long while, yes.
So is this... People talk about passion, though. Is this what it is?
Oh, definitely. I mean, without the passion, I think I would have quit quite long ago. But the passion still drives me. And when you do events, you get to see talent.
Yeah.
And the fresh talent that you see every time, that really, really drives you.
Right. Because you're not just kind of organizing gigs for big names. You're doing stuff for smaller, unsigned artists and for people who want some exposure as well, right?
Absolutely. I mean, my life is divided into two. One is the cari makan life, which I make my money. And the other life is I give back to my community, which I will do anything for music.
Right.
I mean, if it was gigging, touring for free, organizing for artists or bands that require help, yes, I'll do it.
Why?
Because I believe in our music. I mean, I think the thing is I was born in a generation where Malaysian music was in its prime,
yeah.
And I've seen how people can go home happy. They're eating food on the table from what they do in the entertainment business. And now, of course, the focus for music has, music is no longer top 10 for anyone's life. But I believe in our talent. I've seen so much talent. And that really, really drives me in the business. And I believe in Malaysia.
Right. I mean, I come from a similar generation to you. You know, I grew up in a time
when... Are you sure?
I'm pretty positive, yeah.
Hey, he looks like he's 21, guys.
Thank you. Say that again. No. But I grew up in a time when, you know, radio and records were the thing. And you would spend time listening to your favorite DJ recording off the radio, the stuff that you couldn't get on tape or, you know, on vinyl. It was those days.
The good old days, yes.
The good old days, absolutely. Where you would see bands performing up and down the country, performing wherever and whenever they could to a live audience, right? And I think we've kind of, many of us have disconnected with that in the fact that there are not so many live events in bars or in local venues anymore. It's kind of gone the way of YouTube, and it's gone the way of Twitter and Facebook and one thing or another. And we now have these artists who are, for lack of a better term, internet famous.
But, I mean, however they became famous and whatever they do, whether they mime or dance or whatever, I mean, we have to respect that talent no matter what it is. I do not look down upon any type of talent. For those people who tell me that, oh, these artists miming, you try and mime and dance like that.
Yeah.
It's impossible if you don't, you know, take a lot of time practicing. So, the thing is, it's true that we don't have enough engagement on the ground, especially in Malaysia. It still continues in the world because their main income is coming from touring around the world, everywhere except here.
Right.
So, music is like any art. You need to see it live. And I don't care whether it's an artist that's drawing like Vincent van Gogh. If you see his... If you see his painting on a postcard, it's not the same as seeing it hanging on a wall.
No, it's not.
You are just blown away when you see it because I've seen it. I was like, wow.
Yeah.
So, I feel the same way when I watch music live. When I go to see music or movies or anything, I go as a fan. I don't go as me, the critique, or me as the person in the business. I go there and say, do I like or don't I like?
Right.
When you watch it live, the ambience, the feeling is way different than when you hear it on the radio.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, just having other people in the same room as you listening and being in the same headspace as you, I think.
Absolutely. And the other thing was, of course, like you said about radio, I mean, radio nowadays is a lot of, format radio, which is kind of restrictive to everybody because those days you could just follow a DJ for the music they liked. And you would have a myriad of types, whether it's jazz or classical or somebody like to listen to adult-oriented rock, for example. But nowadays, it's pretty much every channel
is the same.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, example, John Peel. I'm sure you've heard of John Peel.
Yes.
You know, he was the guy that, you know, in my youth, I would turn to. And he was like the guru back then, you know, and he always was. He was the guy pushing artists that we hadn't heard of. And saying, go and check this band out. Go and see them live. And even when he'd come across an artist who were, you know, making waves and doing something big, he'd still support them. He was, you know, very much like we are. You know, if you like them, you like them. If you don't, you don't.
Absolutely. I think it's just giving people choice.
Mm.
I mean, it's up to people whether they like or they don't like. But they need to be able to listen to it first of all. If I don't hear it at all, then how am I going to make a choice?
Right.
I'm not allowed to choose nowadays. And I think that's why more and more people are going to YouTube and to Spotify to make their own playlists, to see what they want to see, rather than be dictated by people. I never look down upon radio stations or media because they're doing their job. And it is, they're a different business model. It's about making money. So that's the bottom line.
It is. I mean, and, you know, radios and hosts, we'll talk about the death of radio. But at the end of the day, it's the radio themselves that's shooting themselves in the foot.
Agreed. And I think, I mean, radio is still very much, if anybody thinks that social media is the be-all and end-all, if the internet is the be-all and end-all, no, absolutely not. It is still traditional media. Television is the highest outreach to people that are not where we are. In Kuala Lumpur, of course, you have Unify. You can get on the line, on the internet 24/7. But outside of KL, no, absolutely not.
Yeah. I know recently I was somewhere and trying to get hold of things. What's on TV? It's TVT at TV3. Right, we're going to take a very short break. When I come back, I'm going to talk to you about some of the stuff that you've been involved in. One of them in particular I want to focus on just for a little bit, of course, way back in 1986. Tell me some stories about that.
God.
Oh, God. I would have been 10 years old if I give you an example. So I'm not that far behind. I'm giving away people's ages. I shouldn't be doing that. Anyway, a quick question for the Spotify goodie bag. The question is, what is Jennifer Thompson's profession? What did I introduce? introduce her as at the top of the show. Also, the second giveaway for the two tickets to the Crack House Comedy Carnival on the 30th of April. The question is, how many nights is Crack House Comedy Carnival on for? Send your answer to 016-201-9000. Don't forget your full name, your IC, and why you deserve to win. We'll be right back after these messages. BFM 89.9, the business station. BFM 89.9, the business station. It is that time of night. I'm Rich Bradbury. This is...
Jennifer Thompson, I think.
You are. She's with me all the way through until 10 p.m. this evening. Now, Jennifer, when we asked you to send some information about what you did, some of the concerts and some of the events that you've organized, I think there was 11 pages, 15
cringe,
pages
cringe.
Worth of stuff. And, you know, we sifted through some of the stuff and obviously, you know, like cherry-picked, so to speak. And cherry-pick's a nice word to use for what I want to talk about. First and foremost, of course, is the 1986 show. Most people will know it as the Chowkit Road concert.
Oh, yes, the Chowkit Road concert.
How did you get involved with that?
Well, I mean, in my life, when I was young, music was always number one. I had no idea that I was going to get into this business, but I wanted to play music so badly. I would have given my right hand to be able to play. But if I gave my right hand, I wouldn't be able to play. So,
do you play?
No.
No.
I learned very quickly. By the time I was age 16, I tried piano, obviously. All parents
because
send
you
their
have kids. To,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, absolutely. You get sent the piano so you can play for your aunts and uncles.
Uh-huh.
And then at the age of 16, I picked up bass. But I learned very quickly that I wasn't put on this earth to do music.
Right.
And I was spotted by Mike Bernie Chin, who is our number one father of entertainment in Malaysia. Because he could, I guess he saw the passion that I had for the business, because at that age already I was hanging around musicians, but not in that way. I wasn't a roadie, I wasn't a groupie, I was just interested. And yeah, a lot of people kind of realized that I was. So during the time of Louis Pragasam, Michael Veerappan, and all of them were playing in the clubs, I was going every night down to see one band or another.
Right.
But they spotted me and said, hey, would you like to do some management? I was like, management? Oh, well, that sounds interesting. And, you know, lo and behold, I was stuck in a management office.
Right.
But, yeah, and I've been there ever since.
So, right. It's one of the probably biggest concerts that happened here in Malaysia. It's a piece of history. People
Absolutely.
Talk about it all the time.
Absolutely.
How involved were you? And just tell us a little bit about that day.
At that point of time, I was a production coordinator. So as a production coordinator, you get to do all the dirty work. So yes, from building the stage, getting everything on top of it over a few hours, actually, because we were not allowed to close down that road, being Jalan Tuanku Abdul Rahman, for too long, because it was the main road and everybody had passed. The minute we shut it down at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon or 2 o'clock in the afternoon, we had a pile of cars swearing loudly at us for shutting down the road. And we got the stage up. And yeah, so I was involved more on the production side more than anything.
Right. And Sudirman, how was he?
He is amazing, actually. I mean, he really is the brainchild of... I mean, he's a very intelligent guy, extremely intelligent. He's a lawyer, so...
Yeah.
And Mike Burney, he and Mike Burney were the perfect pair because they formulated ideas, thought out of the box, and Mike Burney was the executor for him. So he executed all these dreams. He'd say, oh, I want to do this, and Mike would say, oh, okay, run off and execute it for him. And some of them were the craziest ideas, like just like Chowkit Road. And suddenly he's like, I want this huge flag on top of stage, and I want to, like, everybody's like, how the hell are we going to get this huge flag? And yep. We did it. Some kind of strange flag was put together.
But you told me just outside a little story about a cherry picker, right?
Yeah, I did.
Tell the people at home what you were doing.
Well, Sude wanted to come down onto top of the stage from the cherry picker. So he'd get into the cherry picker and the cherry picker would drop him off in the stage. And the cherry picker was parked next to the stage where a lot of people were passing.
Right.
So at that time, an officer, a police officer, I think he was a corporal or something at the time, called Del Akbar Khan, was standing on the side there shouting at me because he wanted to get that cherry picker out of the way. But because my boss told me he wanted to get in there and get down, I was like shouting back at him. So we had a small shouting match, which I won. Sorry.
So you're a young girl shouting at a police officer.
Yes,
in
I
the
know.
Middle of a crowd.
Absolutely.
How did that go down?
Well, because I won it.
You won, right?
Yeah, I
and
won.
He did it.
So, yeah, I guess for us, we understand what it takes to do a show, and people come and see. People come from far and wide to see something spectacular happen, and we understand that fact that we need to put on a show for people.
Right, and I think that's the essence of going to see a live show for some of the bigger artists. You know, you want something spectacular.
Absolutely. I mean, if you didn't, you would easily sit at home and listen to a CD.
Right. Or you would see a rewind of their concert elsewhere.
It's an experience. That's what it is.
Right. Do you think that's what kind of drew you to it? I mean, you spoke about how you were hanging out with musicians in a positive way. You know, is that because you wanted to be like, I don't know, in the kind of headspace of them, the creative space of them?
I guess it's because I love music so much. I grew up listening to radio. In those days, you only had two channels of TV. I'm going to reveal my age. Two channels of TV and a couple of channels of radio. And on the radio channel, everything played from English songs to Chinese songs to Ali Katz to Elaine Kang to Sudirman to Sharifah Aini, all on one channel. So you got to experience everything, and you realize how rich the culture of Malaysia is.
Yeah.
Sorry. And so somehow or other, I just fell in love with music.
Right.
And it just never left me all through my school, all the way up. And yeah, I'm one of those lucky people that discovered what God put me on this earth for very early in life. I was so lucky.
You are lucky. I mean, I remember when I was younger, I mean, I was 16, 17, 18, and I'd failed my maths exam,
oh,
right?
God.
And so I was made to retake it at college, and I joined this. It felt like a course for remedials, you know, where you kind of go through your maths classes. And there was another guy sat there with long hair at the time. This was the grunge phase, you know, just the beginning of the grunge phase, late 80s, early 90s. And we're sat there discussing the music that we listen to, and we're comparing the fact that I have this guitar and I have that amp.
And you're supposed to be doing mathematics.
And you're supposed to be doing mathematics. And one thing leads to another, and we form a band. And, you know, we go on and we win the Band of the Year competition, and we do all of that kind of stuff. And I suddenly find myself in this world that I kind of wanted to be in, not just for the sake of performing, but I felt as though the nighttime and all of the stuff that happens at night was much more interesting than sitting in a classroom, you know, talking about maths and one thing or another.
You're the whole reason why the world thinks it's sex, drugs, and rock and roll.
But I think it was more of I'd found somebody who I could speak a language with that I understood. We had the same taste in music. You know, we would go and see artists, or we'd find a band that we liked, and then we'd find out who their influences were.
Absolutely.
And we'd go back and listen to that. And that helped because my parents as well were huge musicians. You know, and I don't mean they played an awful lot. My dad would play guitar every now and again. But the stuff that they listened to, Dad came from a background of like the Rolling Stones, and Mum came from, sorry, the Beatles. Mum came from the Rolling Stones. We had this clash of that. There was Motown playing at home. There was all kinds of stuff, these wonderful sounds that I grew up with. And I miss those days.
Pretty much, I mean, my background would be similar too. My parents listened to everything from classical to Anika Grondo to everything in the house. So it was just available, and you would listen to it and go, wow, you know, that's amazing. I guess that's why creativity in those days was so much higher. I mean, I really wanted to get into the business for the creativity. And then later on, I found out I'm actually an adrenaline junkie. So doing shows, because it's an immediate reaction to getting stuff done, yeah. I suddenly realized, oh, okay, it's the adrenaline that's driving me to do something creative, exciting, different all the time. Because every show you do, no matter how big or how small, even if it's for 2 people or 30 people, it is something that's exciting to do for me.
Okay. Let's take a short break. When we come back, we'll talk about some of the other events that you've been involved in. And I think we need to touch on the kind of state of the Malaysian music industry in particular, I think. All right?
Okay.
And we can be nice about it. We can be good.
Are you sure?
We can try.
Okay.
All right. So, giveaway, folks. We have 2 giveaways this evening. I've already told you about it. 016-201-9000. First up, it's the Spotify goodie bag. The question is, what is Jennifer Thompson's profession? I introduced it at the beginning of the show. If you haven't,
Toilet cleaner.
She's not a toilet cleaner. Send your answer to 016-201-9000. Of course, the other giveaway is 2 pairs of tickets to Crack House Comedy Carnival on the 30th of April. It's featuring the All-Star Gala Show. That question is, how many nights is the Crack House Comedy Carnival on for? I might be able to sort you some out. Right, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after these messages. BFM 89.9, The Business Station. BFM 89.9, The Business Station. It is that time of night. I'm Rich Bradbury, and this is...
me, Jennifer Thompson.
She's with
toilet
us all the
cleaner.
Way. She's not
Chief.
A toilet cleaner. The question is, what is her profession? Send your answer to 016-201-9000. You might get a Spotify goodie bag. I'll ask you the other question about the comedy carnival a little bit later on. Right. So we said just before the break that we should talk about the Malaysian music industry. Now, you've taught music business here in Malaysia for some time.
Yes, I do.
And so, obviously, you have an insight, obviously, first and foremost from that, and, of course, with some of the event management stuff that's going on. Where are we, Jennifer? You know, and how do you feel about it right now?
I mean, I will never, ever give up on the talent that we have in Malaysia, because we really have some amazing... And it's proof to see somebody like Sheila Amza make it in China, Yuna make it in the US. But our talent pool is so great, but the pipeline outwards is so small.
Right, yeah.
So, I mean, that's the biggest problem we have. That's the number one problem. But at the same time, we have to understand that, I mean, so many people say, hey, how come I can't go anywhere? If you are singing in Bahasa Malaysia, you have to understand that Bahasa Malaysia only, how many countries listen to it? Malaysia,
Indonesia,
Singapore. Indonesia is totally a different ball game right there, because they listen to their own language.
Right.
In Indonesia, Thailand and the Philippines, you will never get an artist outside of their country that will be larger, higher selling than their own artist. And that's because of the makeup of the country, that one language and nationalistic spirit is high. Unfortunately, here, because of our segregation, we understand that it's a lot more difficult to get people to support one language or another. That's number one. The second thing, of course, is our population alone. We have only 25 million people. Where else in places like China, Indonesia, and the US, maybe, 240 million people?
Right.
By virtue of just the population alone, if I did a polka, disco, bluegrass album, my niche market would be 1 million people.
Right.
But here, my niche market is 5 people, my brother, my father, my sister, my... So,
I'd buy it.
Oh, you see?
So, yeah,
friends.
That's 6 already.
We coerce our friends, But... that's not saying that we don't have the talent. We really do have the talent. We just have to figure out how to nurture it, how to give it the opportunity to be able to spread the wings, its wings and fly.
Right.
Right now, there's no money in the business. The stakeholders for music, I mean, think about it. Music sells everything. We're in the middle of talking now and there's music happening in the background just to give that ambience. You can imagine hearing my boring voice without that music in the background. If you see an ad, if you watch a horror movie, take the horror out of the movie by just removing the soundtrack.
Yeah.
And music sells everything, but people nowadays have not real. They don't realize it becomes elevator music. And thank you very much to the radio format. Radio, people are not really paying attention to the song, rather they're not paying attention to who the artist is. It's just the song.
Right.
I fall in love with a song and not loyalty to the artist.
Right.
I go driving along, I'll be humming in no time, Call Me Maybe, for no reason. I'll be coming out, why the hell am I humming the song? It's like, oh, I heard it in a shopping mall. I heard it. It's falling in love with music via osmosis.
That's a very nice way of putting it.
That's how I teach people. That's my scientific as I'll get.
Right.
So the only way for artists to win hearts is to perform on the ground,
right,
to engage.
Yep.
And that we can see if you look at Search, Wings and XPDC. Why is it until today they survive? Why is it until today a Chinese guy will go into a karaoke lounge and say, "Saya nak nyanyi Isabella." Why Isabella? Because that song has been everywhere. They've seen him on the ground. He's taken pictures. He's hugged kids. So everybody kind of has fallen in love, and they'll go to the end of the earth. And that's what artist loyalty is about. You give enjoyment or pleasure to an audience, and people go home, and they will never forget you.
Right.
We need to be able to offer that to our artists. Right now, we do not have a touring circuit. We're probably the only country that, besides Singapore, doesn't
right.
have a touring circuit.
I mean, and that's the thing. I mean, when artists come to this region, it's Bangkok, it's Hong Kong, it's Singapore, and Malaysia very rarely, you know, is home to a lot of these bigger artists, you know, for example. I mean, let's take Coldplay up here just a couple of weeks ago, down in Singapore and then up in Bangkok. And you think to yourself, why can they not come to Malaysia? What is stopping them from coming to Malaysia?
Number one, we probably cannot offer them the kind of crowd that they demand. Like One Direction would have said, I want a minimum 50,000 crowd. We cannot get 50,000. I mean, Metallica was here recently. We cannot even get 50,000 crowd for them. So that and the restrictions, I'm sure, because and our exchange rate. Sorry,
right.
At
yeah.
the current moment, a lot of it falls on the exchange rate. But yeah, it's tough when we have so many restrictions. When you're as a female artist, you come in. Oh, sorry, you cannot wear low-cut. The fella says, okay, tak payah lah.
Right.
I go and sing in Singapore. Why should I come to this country and sing here when they don't really want me?
Right.
So it's kind of sad because we do miss out on the good stuff. I remember back in 1990, Toto and Chicago were slated to play in Malaysia. And I love Chicago, and I love Toto. And yeah, long hair, yes. Rockish, yes. But fantastic musicians. In the end, both those shows got banned. On the Toto tour shirt, Kuala Lumpur was already on the tour shirt. But because we were going through that long hair ban, they were disallowed to come in. And I had to go trek all the way to Singapore to see them.
Wow.
And wow. Such an amazing performance, something that a lot of our musicians would have learned so much from by watching the sheer professionalism of the band.
Stagecraft.
So, yeah, absolutely. So I was like, wow, we missed out on this just because of a long hair band. I mean, yeah, we have to figure out what it is that we really want here, whether we want open-mindedness or... I mean, at the current moment, we want controlled open-mindedness. It doesn't work that way.
It doesn't work.
Unfortunately, yeah.
Right. I mean, we talk about what local artists can do to become more prominent and more recognized here in Malaysia. And I think a lot of the kind of local artists have took it upon themselves to try and find a way of getting through some of the red tape, you know, whether it's releasing on YouTube or releasing an EP. But I often find that you don't get many artists now who are releasing full albums, for example. You know, they'll release two or three tracks, they'll disappear for a little while, and then there'll be this whole social media buzz, I have another single coming out, and then nothing for a little while, and you're just like, can we just sit down and get an album? And that's where the loyalty comes from.
Right? Absolutely. But you can't blame them because they need money to make the album.
Yeah.
So since there's no money in the business, even when they do their gigs, they're doing gigs to get their name known on the ground. I mean, nowadays, the best way to to get, scale the wall instead of banging your head against it is to release like what Yuna, Hujan, and Bangface did. I think the three of them are the biggest examples of current day people who did it without any help.
Right.
But the way they did it was to get really big on the ground, so people had no choice but to pay attention to them. And but doing that is hard. It takes a lot of dedication, and most people unfortunately have day jobs or have to work. So it is kind of tough. But I am teaching musicians now for the last 5 years to get up and do something for themselves, but plan it, because just like anything else, you have to have a marketing plan. So it's a matter of teaching them. It doesn't have to be a full-fledged marketing plan, but at least when you come out, sustain yourself for 1 year at least.
Yeah.
Because it's no point to have a chart that goes up 1 minute and down the next and flat lines, and you just end up starting from zero every time you come up with material.
Yeah. I mean, when I was younger, my mother was our band manager at the time.
Wow.
You know, yeah. She was involved with music that way. My dad were involved in the Donington Rock Festival and one thing or another. And we spent some time up and down the UK touring around. And it was, some of it was planned for maybe 3 months. And then you get to that kind of 3 month stage. And then this was back in the day when you had pagers. And we'd get a page and we'd suddenly call and she'd be like, okay, there's a gig for you tomorrow night in the next town at this local venue. And that's what we'd do, you know, and that was our lifeblood. The performance and being on the ground and doing it gig after gig after gig after gig. Because it tightens you up as a unit, as a band. You become a machine almost, you know.
Absolutely.
But it's fun. But it also teaches you to be humble, because you're playing in places that you don't know anybody. And you've got to learn how to come across to that audience to make them like you, right?
Yep, absolutely. Mm. I mean, this is what I try to teach everybody. Actually, music is multi-level marketing.
Yeah.
You get up on that stage.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
And you're selling to people.
Yeah.
You sell yourself.
Yeah.
And like I tell all the bands, you do a good job on top of stage, your merch table will clean out.
Right.
So you're the salesperson and I'm the seller outside. So I'll know if you did a good job inside. Even if I haven't seen you, I'll know.
Yeah.
So, basically that's what they need to do, is to go out. Even in Australia, it's the same thing. It's get into the car, drive 500 miles, set up the next venue, play.
Right.
Then pack the stuff down. And we're talking about full sound systems and amplifiers. Here, nowadays, we are spoiled. We go to the venue, it already has everything.
Right.
Out.
I mean, I couldn't believe that when I first came here. I'm like, you know, when there's bands touring around, all they're carrying is their guitars.
Yes.
You know, and I'm like, no, I had to hang
exactly.
around a big Marshall 4x12, for God's sake.
Exactly. You know? And if you're unlucky, the whole sound system is in the back of your car.
Yeah, it was. We had six guys living in one van with all of our equipment. You imagine how that smelled
See
after
guys
6 months?
That, take that as a lesson.
Yeah. All right, we need to take a short break though, Jennifer. This is fascinating. I could talk to you all day. Right, we have to take a very short break. Before I do that though, two giveaways again. The Spotify goodie bag. The question is, what is Jennifer Thompson's profession?
Toilet cleaner.
She's not a toilet cleaner. The second one is to win at 2 pairs of tickets to the Crack House Comedy Carnival on the 30th of April, featuring the All-Star Gala Show. How many nights is the Crack House Comedy Carnival on for? 016-201-9000. Your full name, your IC, and why you deserve to win. We'll be right back. BFM 89.9, the business station. BFM 89.9, the business station. It's that time of night. I'm Rich Bradbury, and this is
Jennifer Thompson, I think.
Not a toilet cleaner. I should just clarify that. Giveaway time, 016-201-9000. Spotify goodie bag. What is her profession? Second giveaway, 2 pairs of tickets to the Crack House Comedy Carnival on the 30th of April. The question is, how many nights is Crack House Comedy Carnival on for? Right. We've had a good old chat, right?
Yep.
Yes?
Yes.
I've enjoyed it. And like, I wasn't joking. You know, I could sit here and talk to you all day about this.
I mean, I could talk about music all day, too.
Yeah. Now, what have you got in the pipeline happening very soon?
Well, coming up next week, in fact, is Sheila Majid in the Belum Rainforest.
Mm-hmm.
There will be a nice intimate evening.
Right.
With the crickets and the people. And then I fly off to Sarawak for the ASEAN International Film Festival.
Right. Which one is taking more preparation, do you think?
Really, every show is the same. Whether it's, like I said, whether it's 150 people or 15,000 people or 150,000 people, I think it all the same.
There has to be some anticipation for Sheila's live concert, though, right?
The big one? Yeah. Definitely. I mean, it's about time that she's managing to do this, because she really is... I mean, you know which artists have changed a whole generation of people, and she's one of them that everyone can sing. Who doesn't know Sinaran? Everybody knows Sinaran, so you know.
And I think the very fact that there's spectacle involved as well, and there's going to be, you know, let's be honest, you know, and I think that's what people need to see, is to realize that, okay, Malaysia still has it, you know?
Well, I find nowadays that is what people are willing to pay money for, is a production show. Yeah. You can see that when Anwar Zain did his 30th anniversary concert, and you can see that when Siti Nurhaliza did her concert in Stadium, which I was involved with both. Ah. So you know that people are dying to see that kind of show coming from our artists. But unfortunately, we have only very few sponsors that can allow us that luxury of doing a show at that level. At that level, yes.
That's a shame. Right, it's time for us to wrap up then, Jennifer.
Wrap we go.
Right, so I've been asking you two questions. The first question was, what is Jennifer Thompson's profession? What would you call yourself, Jennifer? You're not a toilet cleaner. Don't give me that.
I don't know.
Event manager?
Well, like I said, I live two lives. Event manager is one of them. I would say makes me sound like I'm standing in the street and yelling, but I'm a music activist.
A music activist.
Yeah.
I love that. Right. If you answered either of those, you'll be hearing from us after the show. And the other question was, how many nights is the Crack House Comedy Carnival on for? The answer is 5 nights. If you answered correctly, again, you'll be hearing from us after the show. Now then. Time for us to wrap up. It has been that time of night. Have a lovely weekend, folks. From deepest, darkest Banda Atama, good night. Say good night.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the...
Hi, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. I just had a new idea for our song about the Name Your Price tool. So when it's like, tell us what you want to pay, hey, 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 and the trombone goes, blah, 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 and you say, we'll help you find coverage options to fit your budget. Then we just all do finger snaps while a choir goes, savings coming at ya, savings coming at ya. Yes? No? Maybe? Anyway, see you at practice tonight. I got new lyrics for the rap break.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.